Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
We've got the fantasy football convention coming up. What is it now? Just about 4 weeks away from tomorrow. I think that's what it is. August 21st. It's at 115 Bourbon Street, and it's all presented by Miller Lite. Our buddy Field Yates is going to be in town. He's going to talk some football. He's going to give you advice on fantasy football.
One of the smartest, most affable guys we know.
Yes. And like that's a guy who is hugely successful and doesn't have an ounce of ego on him.
Nope.
And he loves Chicago.
He does.
He loves us.
Yes. As a station.
He loves the station. He loves Chicago. He's really social with all the fans. So it's your chance to meet Field. You'll get gambling advice from Carmen DeFalco and Mike North. Also, the guy Luke from Prop Swap, I believe, is going to be there as well. Now that we have legalized gambling, we're going to have a Bears preseason viewing party. So this thing will get started like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. The Bears game's at noon.
I believe all three of their preseason games are noon kickoff.
On like Saturdays?
I think so. Remember, like there were a lot of times when the majority of the preseason games were night games.
Right.
I believe all three of them this year are 12 o'clock starts.
So we'll be watching that together. Then you'll be put in a league. It's really good. A lot of bang for your buck. Just $20. I suggested to everybody in the Twitch chat yesterday, this would be a good spot to rally the Twitch crowd. Everyone who has met each other through Twitch. They've had a few informal meetups. We should do a meetup here.
We got it.
Yeah,
by the way, I was lying. Their final preseason game at Tennessee, 6 o'clock. But the first two are noon starts.
First two at noon. This is Bears and Bills. It should be Fields against Mitch in this one.
Yeah, Mitchie!
So it's gonna be a really good one.
Over-under on Mitch jerseys at the fantasy football convention is 3.5.
Yeah, Waddle has set the total, and I've taken the under on that. It's brought to you by ESPN Chicago FFC, or I'm sorry, the way you buy your tickets is ESPNChicagoFFC.com, ESPNChicagoFFC.com. Be there. It's also brought to you by Prop Swap, Hooters, Bettenhausen Automotive, and 3Chi. You know, a listener reminded me of it. I was thinking about this over the last couple of days, and I could not totally remember virtually the exact same story for your mean Mercedes happening in this town.
What sport?
Same sport.
Which team?
Crosstown.
A Cub retired and then unretired quickly. Carlos Zambrano?
Well, that was one that I pulled up yesterday when he quit in Atlanta or Miami. I forget where they were. But then he really didn't. No, this was a guy who...
Milton Bradley?
Nope. It's more recent than that.
Oh, Tommy La Stella.
Tommy La Stella. Yeah, I'm shocked we didn't think of it. Remember, he got demoted.
And he said, I ain't going.
He said, I'm not going. Remember, Cap was ranting at him saying they should cut his ass.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, look, there's a lot that goes on. There's a lot of emotions involved here. We're more in tune with mental health these days. And Tommy La Stella actually really came into his own as a baseball player in the next few years, too.
He's hurt now, right? Isn't he hurt? Or was he hurt?
He was hurt last year, I know, when he was having a great year. I'm not sure what's going on this year, though. Double check that.
Yeah. But, yes, that's a good one.
And then, like, he rebounded, and Jed and Theo stayed with him at that point. They should have stayed with him when he was a free agent.
Tommy La Stella's with the Giants, and he's resumed his rehab assignment. This was from 18 hours ago.
Okay, so he
was AAA Sacramento.
What was wrong? Didn't he break his hand in the middle of like an all-star year in like 19 with the Angels?
He was in the midst of a rehab assignment, making sure that I'm on the right year. Middle of July, we thought it was after he experienced soreness in his thumb. So, thumb fracture? I think it was a thumb fracture.
Thumb fracture.
With the Giants. That's, you know, are they the team with the best record in baseball?
Yeah.
They've got some
former Cubs running that team, too. So, you know, a lot of people say keep an eye on the Giants. Jeff Passan's going to join us here
trades.
At 4:15. Yes, yes. Maybe Kimbrel.
I heard the guys talking about Kimbrel to the White Sox as a possibility. That was something that Jeff Passan said as well, which I thought was a really interesting discussion, but I feel very unlikely to happen. I think that Kimbrel may be the guy in all of Major League Baseball that draws the best return in a trade before the trade deadline.
And then what do you think? That the White Sox, since they have a closer, they don't need to be shopping on the top shelf there? I mean, they could shop on a high shelf.
Right.
And for some good stuff, but not, they don't need to pay a premium for their relievers, right?
Right. I mean, the thought was that, I mean, if you look at it from a dominance perspective, it'd be very hard to give up a lead with Kimbrel stepping into the setup role and then turning it over to Hendricks. I mean, that would be a pretty formidable 1-2 punch. Well,
and remember, Andrew Miller, when he was in his prime, was the best weapon that Boston and then Cleveland, especially Cleveland, had and wasn't the ninth inning pitcher. Now, Kimbrel's done the closing his whole career. But you may, like a lot of Sox fans may say, you already have Kopech for that exact role, and then you've got Hendricks. I threw this at you guys earlier. What if, I still think it's a possibility, what if the White Sox love their starting through three guys? They love Rodon, they love Lynn, they love Giolito. Keuchel's been okay, right? Okay at best.
Yeah.
Doesn't strike a lot of guys out, a lot of balls
in play.
Doesn't
make you feel warm and fuzzy like the three other guys you met.
What if Kopech was moved to the starting rotation for the postseason?
Is he ready for that?
Man, I think he's ready for anything. I mean, he was a starter.
You have to stretch him out.
You know what I mean? Where he came up as a starter.
Right. I'm just saying you'd have to, if that was the decision, you'd have to start working on that sooner rather than later, right?
So what if getting a guy like Kimbrel could help you in two spots where you have another Hall of Fame level, you know, closer slash one inning guy who is having the best season of his career, and you've improved your starting rotation. Now, Keuchel's had the postseason experience. Kopech hasn't. I don't know how much that matters. I just was playing the just asking game.
Yeah, look, I think the hurdle here, like, you don't have to ask him for permission. I don't believe he's got a no-trade clause, right? I mean, Kimbrel, if you made the deal, he's coming over here. I think you would want to make sure he would be comfortable not being the closer. And I don't know that that would be something he would be overly comfortable with. I think Jeff's comment was, look, if you can, you know, he could win a ring here. Would he, you know, tuck his ego aside or his desire to be the closer aside to be on a team that would be the favorite in the American League to win a title possibly? But he just recaptured his dominance. You would think that what he wants to do, because he's back on top, is to maintain his position as a closer for a team that was a legit contender. So, look, I don't know how he would feel about that. But in the second thing is, it would cost you a ton. Like, what are you willing to give up to bring him in to put him in a setup role?
Carmen and Yurko were discussing today, that would be a crochet. You would need crochet.
I don't think maybe something else. Yeah, you're not going straight up crochet for Kimbrel.
The Cubs need a starter. He in college, Crochet was a starter. They fast-tracked him to the major leagues as a reliever. You've got nothing in the rotation, and if you scout him well and you think he could be that starter, I think that's a lot of value. It's probably some Sox fans are saying, no, you can't touch Crochet, and that they would rather just look to solidify that sixth and seventh inning guys and not have to shop there. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
If I'm a Sox fan, and you told me I could get Kimbrel straight up for Crochet, which I don't think you can, I would make that swap probably. That may sound silly.
Well,
but
as a Cubs fan, my first blush reaction was it would take Crochet and something else.
Of course. That's my point, is that you're not going to get him straight up for that. And with regard to Kopech, he hasn't pitched more than two innings since going back to like the middle of May. So I think you're.
He was on the IL for a while.
Right, but he's had, you know, several appearances since then. I'm just saying to you, like, that may be the plan, but you would want to start stretching him out sooner rather than later.
Yes, yes.
That's all.
Yeah. So
it'll be really interesting to see what Rick Hahn has on his brain in terms of what he's interested in doing. Because they definitely need to patch some of their issues in their bullpen.
Probably two arms in the pen and the second baseman. Again, like I don't. Anyone who calls me and say we're fine with Mendick, we're fine with Garcia, I know they've been good. You know, I think what you're fine with is Adam Engel and whatever his role is because he's good.
Yeah.
But I am going above and beyond at second base. I'm solidifying that spot, and I'm not playing the we're okay because we're getting Robert and Aloy back. I am going out and I am getting a starting. Good
I am
second
too.
Baseman for this, whether it's Frazier, whether it's Escobar, whether it's Javi, whether it's Story. I wouldn't be shocked if they got landed Story.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't be. Like, overdo it. These chances don't come often.
100%.
Things get bad. Guys fail.
Listen, you don't know what your pitching staff will look like next year. It got more solidified when Lynn signed the extension. You don't know where Rodon's going to be next year.
And think about all the injuries you suffered last year. Maybe you're not as fortunate that they happen all in the from part of the season.
That's right.
You go.
You've got a chance to win the World Series.
Yes. And you've got a lot of good teams you're going up against. The Red Sox, the Rays.
By the way, the Rays just traded for Nelson Cruz.
Yes.
Right?
One of the best hitters out there. We'll talk to Jeff Passan about it all. Trade talk coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Oh! All right, Jeff Passan joins us mostly on Fridays. Once a week, you hear him on Carmen and Yurko as well. And he is brought to you by RZA Cadillac Buick GMC in Tinley Park. Jeff Passan, baseball insider with ESPN, joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Let's get the hard-hitting stuff out of the way first. We had a deep discussion on this, Jeff, inside Waddle's World about a half hour ago. Are you a pool peer?
Am I a what?
Excuse me? Do you pee in the pool?
Oh, a pool peer.
Yeah.
No.
Are you an ocean peer?
Oh, huge ocean peer.
Everybody is. Yeah. So how about this? This, Jeff, this is the oddest part of the discussion. Sylvie said he'd pee in the community pool but wouldn't pee in his own pool. Think about that.
No, that just, I mean, honestly, that just makes you rude.
Yeah.
Admittedly, pee, yes.
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 You'd pee in a community pool.
Or the hotel pool.
But not your own, not my pool. I'm not peeing in my own pool.
I don't have a pool, but if I did have a pool, I wouldn't pee in my own pool.
Hold on. Here's another threshold. Would you pee in the country club pool?
Oh, I don't know what those are.
But here's the thing. You clearly like have a threshold
right.
that you'll go in the community pool.
Right.
I'm saying I feel like the thing in between your own pool and the community pool would be a pool that you pay a decent sum of money.
You have one. You're a member there.
Here's the other threshold I have. If my own kids are in said pool, I will not pee in that pool. If I'm on a vacation.
But if my kids are.
If I'm on a vacation with my wife and there are other kids in the pool, I will pee in that pool.
You are the.
As long as it's not my kids.
Their word ass in the dictionary is next to the picture of you.
Right here.
Wait, so you'll pee in the vacation hotel pool?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
You're learning a lot about him. Jeff, you're learning a lot about Sylvie.
I guess I am. I wouldn't have thought you were a pool peer.
Well, no, not his own pool. He's somebody else's pool.
Right, but he doesn't own a pool, right?
No. What about a shower?
Exactly. So, peeing in the shower?
Yeah.
Of course you pee in the shower.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I think you and I just became best friends.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Right. Explain yourself again.
Unless
you have toxic urine that's going to chip away at the tile,
there's a toilet five feet away. There's a toilet right next to the shower.
Why? I'm saving water. When I flush. I got a better question for you, and do you pee in the club shower, but not your own?
Yeah, I think I probably pretty much pee in every shower.
I do too. Sylvie, would you pee in the club shower?
I'm not a non-shower peer. I draw the line there.
Oh, you're so such a refined.
Oh, yeah. You're moral high ground of pissing in the community pool.
He also asked us the question is if when we go into the ocean, do you take your trunks off?
What? Or like, do you like undo the tie on top?
No. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I'm working with a moron.
Getting all sweaty now.
Yeah.
My wife is sitting here shaking her head right now. I have headphones on, so she can't even hear this. She is just shaking her head.
She's so used to you going on Get Up and Van Pelt and breaking down the trades. And here you are, breaking down the pee.
Here's the thing. She just said I'm so loud. I don't think it was the content. I think it was the volume.
That's great.
I need to leave.
Based on on the topic of urine in a pool, what kind of Cubs trades are we looking for?
I think it's going to be a little while. I think they're gathering their options right now, and their options with some guys are really good, and their options with others are, not to the point where I think they're gonna make trades. So, Craig Kimbrel right now. Like has a number of potential destinations, and I think every contending club that really has championship aspirations should be looking at Craig Kimbrel at this point. The Boston Red Sox have Matt Barnes, who's been very good. Kimbrel would be even better. The Houston Astros have Ryan Presley, who's been very good. Craig Kimbrel would be even better. The Philadelphia Phillies have no one. Craig Kimbrel would be better. The Toronto Blue Jays, Jordan Romano's good. Craig Kimbrel would be better. The Los Angeles Dodgers, Kenley Jansen's looked great up until the last week. Craig Kimbrel would be better. And that's the answer to all of these teams' questions about their bullpen. And because of that, Jed Hoyer is sitting there right now licking his lips and just trying to set his target and what's realistic. Gleyber Torres, level deal like they gave up for Aroldis Chapman in 2016 is not realistic. But something a little bit short of that, I think it is. And I think the ask should be extremely high.
Two-part question about Chris Bryant. What do you think they may get for him, but also the health? It's confused us, Jeff, because he's been nicked up a lot over the last few years. A lot of Cubs fans go after him, and this hamstring fatigue just seems odd to us. Is he hurt or is he not hurt?
I mean, I don't know definitively what the situation is with him. I will say this. If you look at Chris Bryant's numbers over the last, 2 months, they haven't been great. And considering where he was, in the middle or so, probably the end of May, and where he is now, I mean, since May, you guys know what his batting average is? From June 1st on?
225.
I'd go lower than that even.
172.
Wow. It's incredible.
Yeah. His OPS since June 1st. It's 561.
Jeez.
And that's not a small, it's almost 150 plate appearances. So this is an extended slump, and it's the sort of thing that teams notice. And I think because of that, it's going to balance out the fact that there are multiple teams out there that would like him. Even though you have multiple teams out there that want him, they're going to say to the Cubs, Chris Bryant has stunk for going on 2 months now, and we're not going to pay premium prices for him. And if there's one thing that's going to keep Chris Bryant, the Chicago Cub, after the trade deadline, I still do not think that's going to be the case. But if there's one thing that's going to do that, it's the Cubs not feeling like they're getting commensurate value for him.
Jeff, what does that mean for him in free agency? What will a Chris Bryant free agent contract look like, in your opinion?
It's hard. We were talking over $200 million at the end of May when he had a 1016 OPS. Now it's, you know, 180 points lower, and it's not going to be $200 million, I don't think. But you look at a team like the Seattle Mariners that are just starting to transition into their sort of winning moment. That is having a guy in Kyle Seager, who's been their highest paid player for a while now, coming off his contract and hitting free agency. So there's a hole open at third base. Bryant seems to fit perfect there. And if getting him there means spending a little bit extra money, that might be something that the Mariners are willing to do. So I'm not going to sit here and say Chris Bryant's going to get undercut in the free agent market because of these 2 months. There are other circumstances that are at play here. But I'm also not going to sit here and say that Chris Bryant is going to go out and hit the lottery like I thought he would at the end of May.
Where are we, Jeff, on the White Sox watch, especially at second base?
I really do still think that the bullpen is going to be more of a target for the White Sox than second base. I think, let's put it this way. I think if an opportunity presents itself to go out and get a second baseman, that they will do that. I think they're getting a reliever regardless. So I understand, like, the thirst to go and get Adam Frazier because he can play second this year and you can move him to the outfield next year. I don't know if the Sox have the prospects to do it.
Interesting.
Their system, guys, is not good right now. And their system's not good because it was incredible, and then it turns out everybody's a big leaguer now.
Right, yeah.
And that is a really good thing, and I can't sit here and, like, it's okay to have a system that's depleted when the depletion came from a bunch of your guys graduating into stars at the big league level. Like, that's great. That's what you want. But when it comes to adding, it makes it a little more difficult.
Won't that hinder them as well as they try to acquire a top-line, like, right-handed reliever is also?
Yeah, but I don't think the guys who are out there right now in relief are necessarily the ones who are going to cost things that are out of their budget. It's like Kimbrel and everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got to ask you this question, and I don't know if you've even read it. I'm sure you have, being the baseball guy you are, and it's on ESPN.com. What did you make of the Tony La Russa piece that was out yesterday? There are some people in Chicago, Sox fans, who believe that it was overly negative, or some called it a hit piece.
Who wrote this?
I think it was, how do you say Tim's last
Tim
name?
Keon?
Is it Keon or Cown?
Tim Kuhn?
Yeah.
I love Tim Kuhn, and I will read it at some point. It's trade deadline season, man.
Right.
I don't have time to... I don't have time. Like, I don't know English, clearly, from how I'm speaking right now. So to sit down and read a Tim Kuhn story. You know what? Let me say this. Knowing Tim Kuhn, it was not unfair. It was not negative. He's about as good of a sports feature writer as there is right now. And if Tim wrote it, it was even-handed. And if there are parts in there that read as negative to White Sox fans, that's probably just White Sox fans being a little bit territorial. And I get that. That's fine. You're fans. You're allowed to. But Tim Kuhn doesn't write hit pieces. Period. End of story.
What did you make of the your mean Mercedes situation?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, you talk to guys who've been, you know, in the bigs and then been demoted. I mean, it's got to be hard for that young man to have been the talk of baseball for however many weeks and then go back to AAA where, you know, you're in lesser hotels, your life is more difficult.
Let me say this. I don't know enough about your mean state of mind to talk about it and feel like I'm doing anything other than just guessing. I don't think that's fair. What I will say is this. I saw a lot of blame against Tony La Russa for what happened. And I didn't find that to be particularly fair, actually. And here's why. What Tony La Russa did with Your Mean Mercedes, I think, was completely wrong. And I thought it was tone deaf. I thought it was backward. I thought it didn't address what the state of baseball in 2021 is actually like and what players are doing right now. It just didn't read the room. But Your Mean Mercedes was starting to struggle before that and was continuing to struggle long after that. And so to point to Tony La Russa and say, Tony La Russa, you know, killed Your Mean Mercedes' vibe, the numbers just don't back that up. I think the league adjusted. And I think that hitting at the major league level is really hard. And I think Your Mean Mercedes has a big league quality bat. But on this team, in this moment, he was just not performing to the level that he needed to be. And when something like this happens, it makes you wonder, on the big league level, you know, is something going to happen where he's going to walk away from us too? And you hope, above all, that he is in a good place mentally. And if he's not, then he gets there. But baseball, guys, it's a really, really mentally trying game.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, good stuff. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, boys. Take care.
There you go, Jeff Passan. We hit a lot of stuff there. Some fun, and then some of the trade talk. A little La Russa at
the
end.
We're not the weird guy. You're the weird guy.
Yeah, I am the weird guy. 312-332-3776. We've got our picks for the weekend as far as gambling and television all coming up. And don't forget, at 4:45, it's your next chance to win White Sox tickets on this free Ticket Friday.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, you've made it to your weekend. A little rainy here downtown. I know we've had a cloudy day overall. A week from today, hopefully the weather's great, because we're going to be doing an outdoor broadcast at Oak Forest Bowl. It's another Miller Time event. We want you to be with us next week. We're heading south. So check out Waddle and me. We're giving away Sox tickets. We're giving away the Miller Lite Bears treasure chest, a.k.a. cooler. It's next Friday, 1 week from today, at Oak Forest Bowl. So make sure you're with us. All right, let's get to Like It, Love It, just a taste of it.
I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
Like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
What do we got for the records?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Adam Abdallah.
All you broadcast stars, what was the dead time for there?
I was waiting for Sylvie to
point out anything.
For Sylvie to give me the proper introduction.
Hello, Adam Abdallah.
Sylvie, you are in first place with 64 points after going 3-0 on the weekend again.
Back-to-back 3-0 weeks.
That's on fire.
I have 61 points. I'm 3 points after behind you.
Wow, you're still keeping pace, though.
Of course. Waddle went 0-3. he has 48 points. And Bleck has 44 points.
Long season.
It's actually like another week or two,
like
isn't
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's when the real season starts.
4 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
We get to football. Season.
We get to 5 weeks.
I may not bet any football in the next season, you know, and just go other
games.
Well, you
can just take a
zero. No, I mean,
eventually there's only football.
Well, there's NBA, there's NHL. There will be plenty of sports in the fall.
Oh,
college football.
There will
football.
Be plenty of sports.
NFL is where I've always traditionally done poorly with.
See, okay.
What?
Like a few years ago when we were doing this and I would pick a rogue MLS game. I got crap for picking college.
I'll
for
give
picking
me credit.
College games. And then I got crap for picking MLS games. And now we're just going rogue and betting on cornhole and whatever we can.
All the money's the same, is it not? Is the game
now it is.
Yeah.
But before, It was
Dude,
weird.
You were a man ahead of your time.
Weird Abdallah.
Well, you are weird. We're all weird, though. All right, so I've got honors here, huh? This is actually a dog, all right? So this isn't the favorite. But so I even put some money down in the break on DraftKings on this. I'm going to the White Sox Brewers game, and it's Freddie Peralta pitching today.
It is.
So it's a good pitcher.
He had the 2.39 ERA, I believe.
It's a good pitcher on the mound, but Tim Anderson's red hot, guys. And when Tim Anderson is hot, Tim Anderson usually stays hot for a little bit.
When you're hot, you're hot.
And so I'm going to go TA over a base and a half today. So if TA gets total bases, if he gets two bases or more, he will. He's plus 125.
Okay, so that could be a walk and a stolen base.
Yeah, I'm going over a base, 1.5 bases.
Isn't that right? A walk and a stolen base would be a winner for you.
Sure, a double. Double in the gap, which he's been doing a lot lately.
Okay.
He could homer to lead off the game. I'm going TA over a base and a half.
That's a good play.
That's my like.
Wow.
I am really going to stick with the White Sox and just take the straight-up money line tonight. I like Lucas Giolito. I think they go on the road, get the job done.
They're a dog there, too,
they
a bit,
are
right?
A dog. Slight dog. Plus 110, I believe, right now.
I'm going to... is it my turn? Is it time for the scrubs? Is it scrub time?
Yes.
I'm going to take the over 9.5 runs in the Reds and Cardinals game. Both teams suck. And both pitchers, I think, tonight will, especially their bullpens, both bullpens suck.
I've watched a lot of low-scoring Cardinal game lately against the Cubs.
That's your team. Did you not see the Cardinals?
They didn't score a
lot. They lost 7-6. Cardinals give up crappy runs.
Was it 7-6 last night? It was a low-scoring game.
No, I mean the day, like a couple days before.
Right, but the two games before that were low-scoring games.
Castellanos was on the IL now.
I'm in third place. I know you're Mr. Vegas
Mr. Vegas.
You're strutting around like a sports betting peacock. I get it. I'm just going to play a little like on the over in the Reds and Cardinals game. It'll probably lose, but for the sake of filling the next 5 minutes of the show, giving you Reds
we
and
don't
Cardinals
fill anything.
Over.
All we do is entertain.
All killer, no
filler. There's no value on that.
What do you got for your life?
Entertaining.
Filler dogs. Let's go with the U.S. Women's National Team plays New Zealand tomorrow morning, 6:30 in the morning. Let's go with U.S. goals over 3.5. At minus 110.
Okay.
I like that.
Just the U.S.?
Just the U.S. over the 3.5 goals.
They just beat Italy, right?
They're a heavy favorite against New Zealand.
Right.
Heavy favorite.
What do we look at in terms of the line on that thing?
Oh, you said minus 110.
Basically.
Minus 110. I meant in the game.
Oh, on the money line?
Yeah. Oh, God. They've got to be like minus
200 something.
No, more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. My love is Lucas Giolito over 7.5. This will continue strikeouts tonight. This continues my theme that I believe Lucas Giolito is going to continue to get himself right and get himself back to where he was last year. Milwaukee doesn't hit well. I'm going Lucas Giolito over 7.5 strikeouts tonight for my love.
Boom. Money-making man.
The number is not out yet, but I don't care what it is. I'm going to take the over when they post it tomorrow. Carlos Rodon over strikeouts tomorrow. It'll be like 7.5 or 8.5.
Whatever it is, you're going over.
I will tweet it, what it is. I'll take a picture of it. I'll put it on Twitter just so you guys can see what it is. So there's no cheating or anything like that. I will let you know, okay? Okay. Rodon over strikeouts. That's my love.
Appreciate it. My love is the Giants on the run line, minus 105 against the Pirates. Give
minus
it up 1.5.
Waddle's got Cardinals, Reds, and now Giants.
You want to talk about filler. Yeah. You're the filler.
Filler dog.
Football season's right around the corner.
You're like Abdallah with Nick Friedel.
Like I said, I'm trying to get to the break, fellas.
To the break or to six?
The gambling break.
Okay.
The gambling break where we segue from this crap into the NFL.
All right. Cubs just won for my taste.
Nope. Chris, what's your love?
No, that's cool. No, carry on. No, give a taste.
Like I said, a couple weeks ago,
you guys didn't even ask me for my taste, so we just slid that under the table.
What is your love, Black?
No, I'll give you guys the U.S. men's basketball team against France on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. They're minus 12 favorites. I think they come out strong in their first game in Tokyo.
Is France a team that beat them in exhibition play?
I don't believe
so. That's a preseason.
So. I don't believe so.
Well, now you've been on that.
Like, I don't think they played France, okay, to my knowledge.
My taste, sorry to upstage you there. My taste is the Cubs on the run line tomorrow. All right? I don't care how bad they are because Arizona sucks. They are absolutely awful, and the Cubs feast on Arizona. They score runs like they did today. So I don't even see the line out there, but I'll take them on the run line to win by more than a run and a half.
MLS game tomorrow night, Nashville and Cincinnati over 2.5.
My taste is the Astros on the run line tonight.
My taste will be Giants 1.5 run line over the Pirates.
All right, there you go.
Buddy, yeah! Perfect time. Black, do we have your taste?
Yep.
No, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. We have a free ticket Friday right now. Look at all the people trying to get in early.
Guess what?
You can't get hung up on.
You're getting hung up on.
You're getting hung up on. 332-3776. You have to listen until when I say caller 10. That's when it's caller 10. And now I say caller 10. 312-332-3776. 45 after every hour on Fridays. All of our local shows. Your chance to win White Sox and Cleveland tickets for later this month. Caller 10 right now at 312-332-3776. If you don't win now, you'll have one more chance today at 5:45. And then next Friday, your first chance will be with Cap and Jay Hood at 7:45.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right. What to Watch For is brought to you by our great friends at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse. It's located in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. It's from the Boca Restaurant Group, which won Restaurateurs of the Year, and that's a national award. Their executive chef, Chris Pandel, absolutely awesome. They have the best steak, Chicago Steakhouse, with a modern twist. I also recommend the Rock Shrimp as an appetizer, and they're located in the Fulton Market District, open for reservations, taking safety seriously. And you're going to love it. Great outdoor seating as well. And just one of the most beautiful dining rooms you've ever set your eyes on. Swift & Sons Tavern, also across the street from Wrigley Field, if you're heading to Wrigley coming up this weekend. Waddle, what are you watching for?
I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you the Saturday night game between the White Sox and the Brewers. And then I'm going to give you the Sunday night game between the White Sox and the Brewers. These pitching matchups are delicious. You know how I feel about baseball. You can keep all of your 12 to 10 games. When I see a good 1-0 game, when it's done, when the game is highlighted by fantastic starting pitching, that's how I like my baseball. And as we've discussed, you get Carlos Rodon and Corbin Burns Saturday from Milwaukee. And then Sunday, I believe on Sunday Night Baseball, you are going to get Lance Lynn and Brandon Woodruff. So White Sox Brewers baseball this weekend, dynamite television.
I don't know if this qualifies because this isn't debuting until Sunday, August 8th. I got a tip from a listener about this. I don't know if you guys are aware. It is right up your alley. I was going to bring it up yesterday, but we had so
much.
I didn't get to it. Did you know that J.J. Abrams is doing a UFO docuseries on Showtime?
I did see a tweet about something.
This is, and it's true, it's a docuseries. This isn't fiction. This is coming to Showtime, and it is going to debut on Sunday, August 8th. So yes, keep your eyes open to that. One of our listeners who knows that we've been infatuated with all of this, this is going to be really good. I'll give you a short one, too, that is not on TV. Check out thebears.com, their rookie series, Meet the Rookies. I wet my pants watching the Justin Fields one today.
In a pool? Or not in a pool?
No, just watching it. I got very, very excited. Very excited watching.
And that's big. That's big because...
Not that excited. Like, listen. Just very happy.
This is a big deal because he would, most instances, he'd rather pee your shorts than his own. We've learned that about him. He'll come and pee in your pool, but he won't pee in his own.
Like said, I may have tinkled a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I was that excited.
Yeah.
All right. So check it out on bears.com. It's like 8 minutes long. That's it. really good stuff from his high school days, his high school coach. His dad's in it a lot. It's good stuff. What do you guys have? What are you watching for?
I have two things as well. The first one, as Waddle mentioned, Saturday night's game. Come up to the Mars Cheese Castle tomorrow on Saturday. Mars Cheese Castle, 2-4 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to that game in Milwaukee that Carlos Rodon is pitching in. And I thought we were all diamond dogs in here.
I thought so, man.
I thought we were all a bunch of diamond dogs in here. And everybody was going to be watching Ted Lasso this weekend.
It's all about Ted Lasso.
We knew you were going to do that.
I thought the four of us could all pick Ted Lasso for the weekend.
Ted Lasso.
I already watched it.
It's
excellent.
I mean, but
you only get one episode a week, which because everybody kind of watched it late.
It's like old school.
Yeah. So you get one episode. Came out last night. It's good. It's great. It's awesome.
It really. Do you know Ted Lasso has its own Twitter handle too? Follow it on Twitter. Yeah.
All right.
It's good stuff.
Beautiful.
That's what I got.
And that's yours too, Black?
Well, yeah, I'm absolutely Ted Lasso. It's Ted Lasso Day, so we have to celebrate it. But also the Olympics begun earlier today or last night. I can't keep up with the time and what's going on. The Olympics are going
on.
It's
already Wednesday in Tokyo, actually.
The Olympics are happening. And so...
What are we featuring this weekend? What Olympic events are we going to be able to catch?
That's a great
soccer, basketball.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Good stuff.
It's my favorite. Summer Olympics are great.
There's also the Woodstock 99 documentary on HBO, which I think airs tonight. So
you've been
be
talking
good.
About this for a while. This is where they screwed it all up, right? It was a terrible. They tried to redo it from 30 years before, right? Yeah. And it was a huge failure.
Well, the concert itself, it was the people that went out of control.
Yeah, right.
Like, the concert was awesome. I mean, if you look at the bands that played at Woodstock 99, it's incredible.
Weren't the Insane Clown Posse there, too?
They were there. There was a night that Limp Bizkit played into Rage Against the Machine that played into Metallica. Back to back.
So this is tonight.
They started fires.
People started fires. They burned the place down.
It was a riot.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. You should watch it, Waddle. If you like the Firefest documentary,
This is tonight on where?
HBO.
All right, great. That's a great recommendation.
Get my drink on somewhere.
And Ted Lasso. By the way, congratulations to Jason in Chicago. He was our winner for Free Ticket Friday for White Sox tickets. More to come at 5:45 every Friday at 45 past the hour. We're back in 2 minutes. Waddle had his number 3 overall bear, most important, that he unveiled. We'll tell you who that is in 2 short minutes.